Hey, hi, I'm Bonnie. Welcome to this podcast, Make Joy Normal, where we chat about homeschooling and family life. With my co-hosts, Elizabeth and Christina, we address your questions and topics in a way that can create more joy in our lives. Please submit any questions you have by email or voice message in the links in the show notes. If you found this episode valuable, please share it with a friend, like, or leave us a review. That's how we get the word out. Thanks for trying to make joy normal in your own life.
Cheeks.
Yeah, this is Luke. Say hi.
Look at his thighs.
Oh, they're very, very chubby.
So chubby. Anyway, thank you for all your prayers. It's been quite a ride, let me tell you.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, I actually just contacted a therapist who's actually somebody that I know. I didn't know she was a therapist, but I thought, you know, even though I'm feeling really held up by grace and everything, I think there's just lots of stuff to.
Oh my gosh.
And anyway, she was lovely. I'm going to meet with her next week. And yeah, so I'm grateful for that.
Oh, that's wonderful, Bonnie. I'm so glad that. I don't think it's ever a bad idea to go to therapy.
Yeah, exactly. So I had sent you some sort of topics, and now I don't remember what they were.
Well, the topic you sent me was, you know, the first thing people ask you when you start homeschooling is what curriculum are you using?
Right. Yeah. But yeah.
No one seems to ask that of schools.
Yeah.
I have an interesting perspective on this, being a teacher for 9 years. So I can talk about it from that perspective. Yeah. And I do think it is interesting. I don't know why did that come up in your mind?
I don't even remember how that came up, but it was something about curriculum. There was some curriculum conversation going on. And I thought, why is it that nobody ever says, what curriculum does your school use? Mm. You know, what are they using for your child? You know, or what even is their philosophy?
Yeah.
And nobody talks about that. And I thought that was really strange, that that's sort of the big question that amongst homeschoolers, and yet very much an overlooked question for the general populace. Why is it? And I know lots of parents who care very deeply about their children's education, mm-hmm. and, you know, care very deeply for their children who have opted not to homeschool. Is that a question they're asking? I don't know. Like, I just don't think so. I've never even heard it in a school context, except for somebody who's chosen a school that has a very specific vibe.
Like a classical school.
Or a classical. Exactly. Right. So they've chosen based on that, or based on the outcomes that they've seen from that school or whatever. But, you know,
and those are parents who are kind of self-selective. Like, they're self-selecting. They're
exactly
going to know kind of what
it's going to matter.
What curriculum is being used, and care a lot about that. My theory is that it's just the concept of the expert. Like, administrations, they know what they're doing because this is their job, and they know what the best curricula out there are, and they're choosing the best one for my kid. So I don't have to worry about it. I think that's kind of one of the reasons why people choose to send their kids to traditional school, is they want to outsource that. They want someone else being the ones choosing the curriculum and
you
know, picking the, creating the scope and sequence and doing all of those things that seem so complicated and so far outside of the average parent's wheelhouse. And when you're selecting curriculum for, you know, hundreds of children, you have to pick one that you think is going to be like the one that will reach the most kids.
Yeah.
Will be best for the average child.
Yeah.
There is an art to that, I think. But it's very, very different when you're choosing curriculum for your own children.
Yeah.
So different.
I just did an episode. I don't know if you listened to the last episode that I
put. I did.
Any particular curriculum is designed with sort of the, you know, trying to hit the sort of the average child.
Yes.
And, you know, there's not really such a thing. Not that makes curriculum a bad thing. It just makes it a challenging thing. If you're going to choose, and at some point, almost everybody, even if somebody's very unschooly oriented, you know, are going to introduce curriculum. Sometimes that comes, like for myself, that really came from my kids. They'd reach a certain age and think, you know, I want to do
like high school
or biology, you know, program, or I want to do a writing program or whatever, which is great. You know, that to me, that's really appropriate. And then they can look at the reviews and they can look at the somebody else's book that they've, you know, seen them using and decide if it's kind of for them, which I think is great. Because I think kids need a lot of, they get to an age where they want and need input in their own education. Yes, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that's a real gift of homeschooling. And I think that if you, in a sense, start without curriculum or with very little curriculum, then you are, I think the child is really in a better position to kind of take charge of their own education, right?
My experience with curriculum, I was a theology teacher, high school theology teacher for 9 years. And I did it in one school, I taught 7th and 8th grade, as well as 9th. And that was a very set curriculum. But the other schools I taught, I was given a textbook and a syllabus from like the previous teacher. That was the curriculum, was the textbook. Right. I would use the textbook like one time so I could say that I used it. Yeah. But the rest of the time I was creating my own resources. It was a lot of work and it took way longer. I mean, my first year of teaching, I was more tired. And I think the only thing that compares to it is like newborn postpartum time. Like I was exhausted because I was working, I was making everything from scratch, communicating the faith to my students in a way that I thought would actually reach them versus using a textbook that was dry and also very dumbed down and really, I thought, just was not going to be helpful. I think the only reason I got away with it was because my students actually preferred what I made to the textbook. Since I started dabbling in the idea of homeschooling when my youngest was a baby, or my oldest was a baby, I kind of knew I'm not going to be, now, I mean, I could change my mind, but I don't think I'm going to be an open and go curriculum person. That's just not me.
Yeah.
And I would rather grab from all over the place and find like this and that and the other thing and kind of cobble together something
for sure
that I think would really, really work for a child than try to make something that's already kind of created fit.
So it kind of brings me back to this question. Why are we not asking that question of schools? Because there's sort of a confidence in, you know, the whatever the school is doing or whatever. But we really, it's one of those painstaking decisions we make as homeschoolers. And I think what's probably really important for homeschoolers to know is like, if you've purchased, I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of people who buy, it's either the whole package curriculum or they buy specific curricula for their various subjects or for various children or whatever, but they've spent a lot of money over the years on various types of curricula, various age ranges, or sometimes a whole year's package or whatever. And then it sits in their basement because it's not working. But they don't want to, first of all, they want to make it work because they put a lot of money into it, right? And that's fair. Or they want to make it work because they've heard really good things about it and don't really know why it's not working for their family. Mm-hmm. And I think that what's really important for parents is to know that if you've purchased curricula and then you realize, okay, this is not working for us or whatever, just be the master of it. You can go through that. You could pick out a tenth of this, a quarter of this, this one chapter of this, that I really like how they've handled this. This really works for this child. Like use it as in a sense, like your resource library for all the things you'd like to teach your kids. And if you, even if you say you get a science curriculum for your kids, maybe it's the whole family, maybe it's one child, and you think it's really good. Okay, I want them to learn biology and this is how they're going to do it. Or I want them to learn about Earth and planets. And this is a really great outline. You know, just look at the outline, the table of contents, and say, and if the actual content of the book isn't working, just take that table of contents and say, okay, how am I going to adapt this to my family? I really like what they're covering, but it's not working. So if each week or each 2 weeks I go to the library and get books out on this topic, then I'll have covered the same things this book is covering.
Very good idea.
And so, you know, we just can't, it's so important to not let it own us. But if you've invested, either sell it if it's bugging you too much or use it as a resource library, because there's some very, very rich material. Most people who are producing curricula have put a lot of thought into it, right?
Yes. And there's a lot of curricula now that's totally digital and that you can print out, like you have to print it yourself. Sometimes they'll sell it already printed too, but a lot of the curricula that I see, like via social media, is being created by homeschool moms and it's digital. So, and it's like, it'll be like $40 for a whole year.
Yeah.
The nice thing about that is that you can really pick and choose what you want to print and not. You could try it out. And if it's a total flop, well, it's $40. It's not $250 or $500 or $1,000 or something like that. And and a lot of times they'll have a deal where they'll give out like the first week of the curriculum for free and you can try it. And I've done that for a few things just to see, you know, I think this would work for my oldest, because he's only 5 and a half. So I'm not like chomping at the bit to get him to do anything formal at this point, but I've used some of the resources the free stuff that I found. And he's like some of the nature study things and things like that. For the most part, I feel like the conversations I see around curriculum, a lot of times there is, I know a lot of homeschool moms feel like they have to justify and prove that they're doing school, like they're capable and this is legit. This isn't just unschooling and my kids just running around feral all day. Like I'm really doing something. It gives a sense of security that I'm using something that someone else created who knows better than I do. And I really think one of the things that I would want for more homeschooling parents is a confidence in how much they know their child, their children.
Oh, absolutely.
And how that knowledge is worth more than all of the teaching degrees and all of the curriculum that they could possibly fathom.
Exactly. You're the best equipped. But the other thing is too, is that I think my recommendation for most people, and I mean, everybody has to, you know, decide what's right for their family. Cause some people find it really, really stressful to not have a guideline of some sort. Right.
Yeah.
And so you got to be aware of what you need. But if you start your first couple of years where you're really just taking off from what you've already taught your child, you've taught them to ride a bike, you've taught them to, you know, to speak, you've taught them manners, you've taught them hygiene, you know, all kinds of things. Now you're going to sort of slowly move in and very naturally move into reading and discovery and, you know, all kinds of subject, you know, what we call subject areas that you've been doing all along, right?
Yeah.
When you attach yourself to a curriculum too intensely, that you don't really give yourself an opportunity to find out what kind of homeschool family you are, right?
That's true.
You're trying to fit into this particular mold. And so if you can lighten up on the curriculum or not even use curriculum, that if you then sort of can approach it like, okay, what's our style? What's our vibe? What do we like to do? How do we spend our time? You know, and I would say, compared to the hours and hours and hours put into the decision about what curriculum is going to be made and you know, the expense that goes along with that sometimes, I would say a parent should put equal amount of time or more into how am I going to structure my day, right? Mm-hmm. How am I going to start to build routines, right?
Yes. Because
3, 4, 5 years down the road, we're going to need more of a routine. The kids are going to need a little bit more time to sort of, you know, work on the things they're going to work on. But right now, when the sort of, you know, knowledge input is first of all, they're just sponges. So it's just happening all day long, every day. The in terms of the commitment of you as a parent is more play oriented, really play driven. That it's an opportunity to really lay the foundation of routine, right? So maybe you sit down every day and you just color, or maybe you sit down every day and play finger games, or maybe, you know, whatever, that we just have a moment to sit down and have some one-on-one and build a relationship that's then going to be the foundation of your homeschooling later on. Because I think that we right now, what we want is for our kids to cooperate
with us,
right? And that takes effort and time and intentionality. But if you can get that happening when they're young, it's much, much easier when they're older. Like it's phenomenal. I mean, it's really phenomenal to sort of see what they're willing to do because you've been willing to work with them and willing to work with their moods, even, you know, that, you know, this is not a great time for us to be doing this. So I think we should do something different. You know, maybe we should snuggle, maybe we should, you know, have a snack, maybe we should do something different. But, you know, to be not like, we have to finish this because this is the page we're supposed to finish today.
Right.
And so we lay that foundation in those first few years of parenthood and homeschooling are, you know, such a great opportunity to do that. Right.
Well, and it's funny that you say that because I told my husband that my goal for this year, for this academic year, is not that my son be reading by the end of the year or anything like that, because I have a much more relaxed approach to that than I ever thought I would. My goal is to build habits that starts with me really having better habits and having a more established rhythm to the day. It's really hard after you have a baby. I feel like, for me at least, after you have I have a baby, kind of all the routine and everything sort of flies out the window, and you're just sort of in like go with the flow mode. You can't really schedule too much.
Well, the only thing, you know, the only thing that's constant is change, right?
Yes. Sleep is a moving target. Feeding is a moving target. Everything is a moving target for several months. And so I'm still in that. I mean, we're going to be coming out of it. I feel like once the baby's down to like two naps a day ish, there's a little bit more predictability, you know. Now it's time for me to rebuild the rhythm, reestablish, and to revisit some things and maybe establish some new things. So my oldest is getting old enough to take more responsibility for certain things in the family, and how can we get buy-in from him without creating too much resistance? Like these are the kinds of questions that we're asking.
Yeah.
So much of it it's harder because this is our oldest is only 5 and a half. And this is the first time we're doing so many of these things.
Mm.
And we're very much in an experimental time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that for me is really hard because I am a person who likes to have things down. I like to have things very clear and very systematic and very, you know, and so I feel like this has been homeschooling as an extension of parenting has been just really stretching me in terms of my flexibility.
Yeah.
Hang on one second.
Interesting, because what I found, I don't know if this is helpful for you, Christina, but what I found is that about every 6 months for probably the first, you know, 20 years of parenting, everything would change.
Only that long.
Right? Because, you know, you're having a baby, you're adding a new child into the mix or some other child's in a new phase. And it seemed like we'd be in a good groove for about 6 months. And then things would start to sort of come undone. And we'd kind of, okay, well, how are we going to sort of manage this new thing that we're in? How can we change the environment? How can we adapt?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then, you know, sort of the 6 months of kind of, you know, upheaval. I don't mean major upheaval. Sometimes it was major upheaval, but sometimes it was minor upheaval. And then you sort of settle into, okay, this is the way things are now for the next, you know, 6 months or so.
Actually, very consoling.
It is consoling, because if you go into things, you know, whether that's homeschooling or just parenting your kids or whatever, if you know that every 6 months there's going to be some sort of major thing happen, you know, sort of major shakeup in your routine. And we had things that were routine and kind of always were, but, you know, we have to tweak here and there, but there'd be some other thing like bedtime might sort of all sort of fall off the rails and, okay, this isn't working. What do we have to do now? You know, this child's getting old enough that they want to stay up later and, you know, they're not really ready to go to bed at 7:30 or whatever. That whole sort of upheaval happening regularly, kind of all your parenting life until your youngest is 10 or something. And you can kind of expect that. And of course, things after, you know, post babies, things definitely get more predictable. But I would say there's still, then people start leaving home. And so there's another big shake.
You know, oh my goodness, it never stops.
No, I was just talking with Lydia because, you know, really her childhood, Brianne moved out. My oldest daughter moved out to go to college for the first time. I think Lydia was 2 or 3.
Oh, right? Wow.
And so, and then she came home, you know, and she was home for a year or whatever period of time. And then a year or two later, another child left home and was, you know, would come home every summer.
That's a lot of transition.
A lot of transition. So her entire childhood was marked by older siblings leaving home.
Wow.
right? And coming back in for the summer. So we'd adjust to, you know, they're gone for the school year, they're gone for 8 months. And then, you know, we'd adapt to them being home for 4 months. And it was a bit, you know, jarring for the first week. It's like, okay, wow, this is really noisy again. Her whole child was really defined by people moving out and getting married. You know, her first siblings got married when she was 8. She was an auntie when she was 9. That's her whole life. And Abel too, really, he's 3 years older, you know, so he has a better memory of kind of everybody being home, like a house full of people. But for her, those memories are what she remembers as her older brothers being home, you know, because they were home for a long time.
Yeah.
When she was little. But she doesn't have a lot of memory of the girls being home, which is, it seems so weird, you know? So yeah, constant, you know, just constant, right?
Especially the larger your family is, I'm sure the more that reality plays out.
I'm going to share a couple of things. I don't know why this is striking me right now, but I'm going to share a couple of things. One is, well, I'm going to make a note to myself so I don't forget the second thing because my brain's on. is that maybe one of the reasons why, like in a sense, a curricula used by schools could work or may work or have the appearance of working is because you've kind of blocked off this place. There's both a physical place and a physical time. That this is where we go and this is what we do in these four walls and in this framework. This is what goes on here. This is what goes on here. You know, it's sort of like a, and I'm using the word sterility. I don't mean like, I think there are some lovely classrooms. I think there are teachers who are capable of creating classrooms aren't sterile, but there's a backdrop. This is what we do within these four walls. And this is what, so in a sense, you're not cooking dinner. You're not making lunch. You're not dealing with the meltdown. Well, you are dealing with meltdown. What's that?
It's not home.
And there's no babies around and there's no teenagers around and there's no, that sort of framework might be conducive to, you know, so maybe that whole thing, we've sort of bought that whole picture. My kid goes into the classroom, goes into the school building. That's where the education
and learning happens. Has to happen in that way.
Yeah. And so therefore I'm not asking questions about the curriculum because this whole system is designed for this one purpose. Maybe that's why the question isn't asked.
I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
I think that is true.
Yeah. Now this is totally off topic. My next point, but I'm bringing it up because I may have mentioned this in a previous podcast. I don't remember now. But a few years ago, when I had several adult kids, so I think I would say the oldest four for sure were adults, maybe the fifth. And it just so happened that I five of my kids at the same time were all going through things, right? We're all kind of going through a challenging period. Okay, so I just got to notice that this ends in 10 minutes. So we'll try and wrap up in the next 10 minutes. Albert, too, it was sort of a challenging time for him. I don't even remember. I think it was work, sort of work stuff. It was sort of challenging for him. So I didn't want to burden him with what my kids were going through. I was mediating in a sense, not, I wasn't sort of advising them about what to do with their life or whatever, but I was the sounding board, right?
Right.
None of the other kids, because they were all going through stuff, knew about multiple people going through stuff.
Oh, wow.
Right. Because I just was trying really hard and I kind of got caught the same way in a sense we get caught, like we too overly busy or our kids, we have kids, you know, who are going through multiple phases at the same time. And we kind of forget ourselves in a sense in it and forget our needs. But this was, you know, much later, right? It's something I feel like shouldn't have happened because I should have been more self-aware. But it was a new phase in my life to have all these adult children. And they all, you know, and we adults go through things. So, you know, all sort of struggling with their various things, kind of turning to me, which I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that my kids come to me when they're struggling. And I ended up kind of having a breakdown and not, you know, the details of which I won't go into, but not realizing I ended up going to hospital because I literally just collapsed. And it wasn't, I mean, I was only in hospital for a few hours, but it was the collapsing and the you know, the medic that was dealing with this literal physical collapse saying, what, you know, is there something going on in your life? Because I mean, nobody knew anything. is there something going on in your life? And I said, yes. Right. And sort of just, what, you know, kind of poured it all out. And she said, okay, wow. Okay. This is a lot, you know, and I sort of was listing off the things that were, that I was being support person for, and mostly just on phone calls. But the thing is, you're carrying it all still, right?
Of course.
I thought, I should have known better, you know, whatever, 52 or whatever I was, I should have known better than to get myself into this situation. Like, even if I had just said, listen, there are other people having difficulties right now, and I'm trying really hard to kind of support. Also, I'm, you know, I'm a little bit limited in my time, or I might have to get dad to take on some of this conversation or whatever, you know, whatever it was. But I ended up like when I had little kids, and sometimes you could just get overwhelmed with the needs of the little kids, you know, dealing with a whole different thing. And I think that with the, A, we can do that with little kids. We can do it with older kids, but we can also do it with the needs of our community, you know, the needs of the people around us, that we have to be so aware of what we are doing to ourselves. And I'm not sure how this plays into our topic. It doesn't really.
I think your how much capacity you have is very, very related to what you're going to use for curriculum and what you're going to, you know, like
how much time it's going to take, you know. So if you choose a different curriculum, I recently had a conversation sometimes in the last few months, had a conversation with a mom who had a bunch of kids, like 6, 7, 8 kids. I can't remember, most of which were homeschooling, and she had a different curriculum for each child. And I thought, you poor woman,
gosh,
and you, you know, sort of,
you're going to be in school all day, just like you would.
Well, that's what the issue was. And it's not the first time I'd heard that. That's what the issue was. It's, you know, we start at the crack of dawn, and, you know,
we're not done until dinner time. We're done.
You're going to really burn yourself out really badly by that. But also, you know, how can you streamline, and what can you outsource? Right.
Yeah. So and what could, like, you do all together? I mean,
Exactly. Like that's to me is the most streamlining thing you can do.
Yeah.
But if you have a high schooler who say you just feel like you can't keep up on their math, it's okay. I outsourced all my music. I'm not musical at all. So all my music was outsourced. If I felt like I couldn't do math, you know, I was in a position where I didn't end up outsourcing math, but it was certainly one of the things on my radar is, you know what,
I'm planning on hiring a
tutor, right?
I'm planning on outsourcing math.
Yeah. You don't have to feel bad that you have to meet all the criteria. You're only one person. If you can establish these sort of beautiful habits with your family and the things we do together and the things we do on our own, and then be in conversation with them. You know, if this gets difficult, you know, I'm having a hard time teaching you, or you're having a hard time learning from me, you know, it would be okay for me to hire a tutor. It'd be okay for me to swap with another mom about, you know, something that she's got a strength about and I don't. Be open to those conversations and make your kids aware that it doesn't have to look like a certain way. It doesn't have to look like
an early childhood development center, or especially for young kids. I feel like this is when so many people, so many moms who are in my kind of season of life, feel this extraordinary pressure to have a preschool curriculum, to have a kindergarten curriculum, to be doing something every day that's very formal and that you could like point to and say, look, this is school.
Yeah.
There's so much stress that goes into that. And many of these women are having babies. They have little kids around. Their oldest is like 5 or 6. And they're so excited and eager, but also feeling this pressure from maybe grandparents or other people, like, why isn't it in kindergarten, whatever. I feel like now is the time where you can really chill out, because there's not very much that.
Exactly. Just, you know, the normal everyday taking care of children. There's lots of learning that can happen there. If people haven't listened to the last episode, I recommend
some resources for that
episode,
which
I think are great to read if you're even just preparing for homeschooling, right? You know, just kind of get a handle on sort of what.
And I'll second your recommendation of Ruth Bieschick's books. Mm-hmm. They're really, really good.
Yeah.
Totally. For me, it was like so much pressure. I felt like so much pressure was taken off of me after I read those books. I was like, okay, I'm fine.
So beautiful. And she's so like willing to look at the natural way we learn and kind of point that out to you as a parent. I think she gives parents a lot of confidence.
Yes, it definitely made me feel more confident in my ability to do these basic things that, you know.
Yeah.
You go to school for. So
we only got about 2 minutes left, so we should wrap it up because otherwise my Zoom here is going to shut down. Anyways, thank you so much. That was great. I miss you and
miss I you, thank you
for all your prayers. Your prayer support has been so valuable for
and
me.
You too.
It's yeah. Sure. Okay. God bless you. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.